Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menachos Lamed Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidol, Amar, he quotes Rav. The last 8 Pesukim in the Torah, all the way at the end of Sefer Devarim, which describe Moshe Rabbeinu's passing. So the question is, who wrote those Pesukim? Moshe Rabbeinu himself? Who wrote the entire Torah? Well, how is he writing about something that occurred after his passing? Says the Gemara, Shmoina Pesukim Shebetorah, those last 8 Pesukim are unique in terms of the halachas of how you meant to read them, you know, in the shul during the Kriyas HaTorah. Yachid Kari Yaisan, Vezak Neses. Just a single person will read them continuously without interruption. You can't stop and do another aliyah. It has to be done in one continuum. These Pesukim are unique. They're different than the rest of the Torah. Says the Gemara, Kiman Likra B'Shimon. It appears that in fact this statement, considering these Pesukim to be different, will not be consistent with Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who seems to say that no, Moshe Rabbeinu himself recorded these Pesukim just as the rest of the Torah. The Sani, we learned in Hebrew. So the pasuk begins, Vayamas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Who recorded this? Who authored this? Efshir Moshe Chai, can it be so that Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive and he's writing on himself that he died because of, and he writes, Vayamas Shom Moshe? It cannot be so. Ella, rather, this is the answer. Ad kan kosav Moshe. Until this point, Moshe Rabbeinu authored the Torah, but going forward, who wrote it? Kosav Yehoshua ben Nun. His Talmud, Yehoshua ben Nun, actually was the one who recorded the last 8 Pesukim. Divrei, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'yamar, some say Rabbi Nechamya. Amar lo, Rabbi Shimon responds, that cannot be so. Emsher, Sefer Torah, Chaser, Ois, Achas, how can you suggest? Could it be that the Sefer Torah would be missing, you know, even one letter, let alone 8 Pesukim, even one letter? And Moshe Rabbeinu calls it a Sefer Torah, a complete entity. Yuxivin, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, Lakoyach a Sefer Torah Azeh, take this Sefer Torah, this complete entity. V'samta Moshe, and put it near the Urim. If it would be missing anything, he would never call it a Sefer Torah. So apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu authored the entire Torah from beginning to end, even those Pesukim that describe events that occurred after his passing. How did he do that? They were dictated by Hashem, who told him in advance, this is what you meant to write. Although it relates to events after the fact. Ella rather, ad kan, until this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Hashem would dictate the words, U'Moshe Koisev Omer, and Moshe Rabbeinu would, some switch it to Omer V'Koisev, he would verbalize it and then record it. That's the way you meant, you know, when you write the Sefer Torah Tefillin, he meant to actually say it and then sort of implement it in writing. So that was the system. It was dictated by Hashem. Mekan Ve'elach going forward, starting from this Pesukim. Although Moshe Rabbeinu did author it, he did record it, but it was done slightly different than the rest of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, although Hashem would dictate it, U'Moshe Koseh Bedema, Moshe would write it. First of all, he wouldn't verbalize it. Rashi says, Merev Tzari, because of the distress that it relates to, you know, his passing. So he wouldn't actually verbalize it. He would write it bedema, in tears. K'moshe Emel, like we find when they recorded the Kinos, the Sefer Eicha, which related, again, it was written in advance. It related to events after the fact of the Churban and destruction, dictated by Yirmiyahu HaNavi and recorded by Baruch. K'moshe Emel, Ahalon v'yemer lam Baruch. Baruch explained, Mipiv yikra elai sakol advar me'ela. I didn't make this up. This was dictated to me by Yirmiyahu. I'm recording it on the Sefer. So we see that you do it by dictation. Also, you see, he didn't verbalize it because it was tsar, because it was describing, you know, sorrowful events. So, according to Rav Shimon's opinion, these 8 Pesukim are pretty much the same as the rest of the Torah, all dictated and recorded by Hashem, recorded by Moshe. So, Lamed Lik Rav Shimon, so the above mentioned halacha, which sort of highlights the uniqueness of the 8 Pesukim with respect to the Yachid reading them in one continuum, is not like Rav Shimon, who considers them to be standard Pesukim. Says they were no. even according to Rav Shimon, that are somewhat unique, that are recorded in a different style. I feel Tamar Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, it would work. Since these eight psukim are somewhat different and unique in a sense that they were written bedema, right? Ishtani. So likewise, in terms of halacha, they're treated differently. Interesting, from the Vilna Gaon they bring. Okay, so they're different, but why specifically read it in one continuum? What's the connection between Yachid Kari Oysam? He says, these events describing, you know, Vayamas Shamaisha, etc., were dictated and recorded before the fact. So, you know, we all know that the Torah is rooted in the highest spheres of Hashem's Chachma, and they existed before. Torah existed in that form, in the secretive form, even way before the events that are described in the Torah took place, which at that point, those concepts were implemented in, you know, in this world, in a practical fashion, but they were just meant to sort of bring down and manifest the will of Hashem, the Chachma of Hashem, which is the underlying, you know, essence of the Torah. And Rabban actually brings that the Torah is Shmoisav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. The letters are Hashem's names. They're expression of Hashem. They're our perception of Hashem. Shem means Mahus. Shem is essence. A person's name is his essence. So the letters of the Torah sort of scramble together, but then they're sort of separated into words and are meant to describe events as they occur. But in its very essence, they're just sort of letters that are scrambled and connected to each other as expressions of Hashem's name. So in its source, they are shmoisav, there are expressions, there are names of Hashem. But then they're sort of characterized into letters, into words, into psukim, into description of events. So regarding these eight psukim, since they were recorded in a sense before the fact, while it was still in its source as Hashem's names, that's why it's called bedema. Bedema is a lashon of dimua, mixed up, like you have meduma, truma, and chul mixed together. It's sort of a mix. It wasn't yet separated into words and verses and you know, stories. That's why a yachid kari oisam, if you read it, you have to read it in one continuum. There are no separations. You can't split them. It's all one entity connected to its source, to the highest forms of secrets of Chachmas Hashem. Very interesting pshat from the Vilna Gaon. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rav Shua bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidla Amar Rav, Halakech Zev Torah Ben Ashok. A person goes into the store and buys a Sefer Torah. Chayt of Mitzvah Ben Ashok, it's great. He grabbed the mitzvah, he purchased the mitzvah, but it's not on the highest level. Kasva, but he actually writes it. Then he achieved even a higher fulfillment of the mitzvah. Ma'al v'akos of Torah considers him ki'ilu ki'ilu mehar Sinai, as though he himself received the Torah from Har Sinai, because he went ahead and he actually wrote it up. Amar Rav Sheshes Megia Boya Filois Achas. Likewise, if he even fixes one letter, like we do, you know, when they have the Achnasa Sefer Torah, we go and we fill in letters, that also counts as though he wrote it, since he actually recorded it and he made it happen. Malav Akosav Kilukosav Torah, consider as if he wrote the Sefer Torah. Tanur Rabbanan. What about formatting? So we're going to learn about the format structure of a Sefer Torah. How many sections, how many columns, the sizes, the spaces, the margins. Tanur Rabbanan. Oysa Odom Yiriyah Mibas Sholish Dap. And how large should a parchment section of a Sefer Torah be? Not too big, not too small. It's got to be, you know, balanced, proportionate to the rest. So you have no bigger than a section that could hold no more than eight columns and no less than three. Oysa Adam Yireh, your section should be comprised of Mibas Sholish Dap, and starting either from three columns all the way to eight. Vaad Bas Shmoyna Dap. Pachas Mekan Vesu Mekan Liyase. It shouldn't be less than that or more than that. Pachas Mekan Vesu Mekan Liyase, because it's you know, it's meant to look, you know, balanced and pleasant looking. So don't make it too small or too big. Balayarba bedapin. Suppose you have a small section, okay. In order to squeeze in your three columns, which is the minimum, you're going to squeeze it in. You're going to make, you know, small letters. Don't do that. Mishnura Igeris, you're going to make two, you know, small, let's say, small columns, narrow columns. The columns are too narrow. It looks like a letter. It doesn't look like a proper Sefer Torah. Well, you might be dapin. Likewise, suppose you have a really large parchment section. So, you know, the maximum is eight columns. Okay, and many more can fit into this. So what you can do is you're going to make wide columns to fit in, you know, the seven, eight columns. Don't do that either. Because your eyes are going to sort of wander and flounder around. You're going to lose focus if the columns are too wide and too big. Ella, what's the recommended width of a column? So the column, the line has to be wide enough to accommodate the word, which is about 10 letters, three times over. That's the standard size. Now let's say you encounter a large a section that's larger than that. You have this parchment you know, section which can hold nine columns, too much. So what do? You split it evenly, again, in a proportionate, balanced way. You shouldn't split it unevenly, three columns and six columns. Split it sort of down the middle, so you end up with four columns on one and five on the other, which is sort of balanced. But what do we say? So you have to keep to all these rules. But chilas ha-sefer, when it's, you know, the beginning, the middle of the sefer, aval b'sefer ha-sefer. But if it's it's all the way at the end, and you're stuck, what do you do? Afilu pasuk echad, afilu daf echad. So you're left with just one pasuk or one column. Okay, so you make a section with just that. Ask the Gemara, pasuk echad sakadat. Does she mean that you can take one pasuk and stretch it throughout the entire section, the entire, you know, parchment? That cannot be so, because we learned yesterday that the pasuk at the end of the Torah has to end up on the bottom. The Enikal Yisrael has to be in the very bottom. So I can take one pasuk and run it across the section and still end up on bottom. What we meant to say is, just make one column and narrow column. And you're right, you only have one pasuk left. Take that pasuk and stretch it. First of all, make large size letters and make your lines one word each to stretch it all the way to the bottom of the page, because that's a requirement. Okay, what about the margins? To, you know, allow for space to handle the Sefer Torah and to grab it, right? Shiru Gilyan. Gilyan is the empty margin. Milamata, on the very bottom, beneath the lines, leave it a tefach. Milamala, on top, need less handling room. Gimel its boys, three finger widths is enough. Medach l'daf, between the columns. Kumle revach, reichav shtei its boys, two finger widths. V'chamashin. And what about if you're making just a standalone chumash on parchment, but, you know, Bereishis, Shmois, that has its own rules, it's handled differently, it's not like a Sefer Torah, Milamato, the margin on bottom, Shalosh Espois, three fingers, Milamal on top, Shteh Espois, two fingers, between the columns, thumb width. Meshit L'Shita, what about between the lines, how much space, Kamalei Shita, so an empty line, basically it's a line of text, an empty line, and again a line of text, that's the ideal. The table between the words, how much space? The smallest letter, a yud, that's how much space you put between the words. Between the letters, remember the letters have to be surrounded by parchment. You have to have at least a hair's breadth, just a mashu, to keep the letters apart. Now, suppose he's writing along and he gets to the bottom and he realizes, oops, I got too many words to fit in here and still allow for a proper margin. So he's going to try to squish the letters and get, you know, minimize the size of the letter. Don't do that. Not to accommodate the proper margin on bottom, nor to accommodate the margin on top, nor to accommodate the spacing between the lines, etc., or to accommodate the proper spacing between the sections of the Torah. You have too many words? Okay, start the next page, start the next line. Don't try to squeeze things in. Now, let's say you're at the end of the line and you're halfway through the word. You're at the end of the line, you have a word of five letters, a five-letter word. So some of it's going to hang out in the margin. Is that okay? As long as it's just two letters. You shouldn't have two letters in the, you know, inside the column and three hanging out. That's inappropriate. Elo sholish v'secha daf v'shtayim chasal daf. You have three that you can fit in. That's okay, even though two are hanging out. As long as it's just two letters, it's okay. Now, let's say you're at the end of the line. Lech lecha. Okay, so lech fit into the line. And lecha, it's only two letters. So can I stick it in to the margin? No, because here it's a full word. Even though it's just two letters, but it's a full word. And you can't stick it between the columns. Nope, don't be lazy. Go down to the next line and start again. Now, what if a person overlooked the Shem Hashem? Vaidaber el Moishalemar. What happened to Shem Hashem? I tell you, Hashem. Now you're in trouble because you can't just, you have to treat it with respect, the Shem Hashem. So what do you do? You can't just stick it between the lines. Goyer es mashakosav. He scrapes off the word that he wrote in the place where Hashem would be. Scrape it off completely. Don't leave any, you know, markings. And that's where you put the Shem Hashem on that clean parchment. What about the missing word now? That you hang between the lines. V'toyel es mashakosav. And you stick that word between the lines, right on top, because it's Hashem, Amalkam Agrar, and you reinsert Hashem's name on the scraped area. Dib Rabbi Yehuda, that's his opinion. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, after Elon's Hashem, no, you could actually insert the Shem Hashem between the lines as well. That's even better, you know, than, okay, that also works. That also works. Rabbi Yitzchak Aymer, Af Meichek, Bekoisev, he says you can also actually erase. So not only if you scrape and you leave a properly cleaned place for the Shem Hashem, even just erasure, which leaves some sort of marking, that's also good, and you can put the Shem Hashem on top. Or Shem Shizuri Aymer, he takes a strict approach. He says, no. Kol Hashem Kulei Toilin, Miktos Ein Toilin. So first of all, he says you can do Taliyah, but only the full name of Hashem. The most strict approach will be the next Shita, sorry. So he holds you can actually insert the Shem Hashem between the lines, but as long as it's the full Shem Hashem, you can't do part of it in the line and part of it on top. So that's inappropriate. Shimon Lazar, Amen. Shimon Meir, he takes the most strict approach. He says, "Ein kaisin Hashem, you're stuck. Shem Hashem must be treated with great respect. You can't write the Shem Hashem on a erasure, on scrapture, on margins. Ein kaisin Hashem loyal mokam agrar, loyal mokam machak. You can put the Shem Hashem on a scraped, on erased." Between the lines, Kate said, what do you do? He's stuck. Misalik, got to start over. Misalik said, Ria Kula, but going to you take the whole section out, put in the Shemus, and start fresh. This time you don't remember. Okay, so we have Shimon Shazuri regarding Kol Hashem Toilin and Mektosa Ein Toilin. Itma, so we learned, Rav Chananel. Rav Chananel makes a statement, name of Rav, Amar Rav. Halacha Toilin. Halacha is you can actually be Toilin as Hashem. It's not a problem. You could insert the Shem Hashem between the lines. Rav Abrachan or Ritzel, or Shmuel. He said, "Loch moichiv kaisev." You can. It says the better way is to actually. He says you have to. You can't. You can't hang it up. That's not the right moichiv kaisev. The proper way is to erase and put the Shem Hashem on that. Now these two. You can also, it seems like you can also, sorry, you can also be moichiv v'koisev. I'm going to see in the next line. You see, the Gemara is a kasha now. So basically, they're just concluding, they're paskening, they're ruling like these two shitas. So Rav paskened Toil and Hashem, that's the way to do it. Okay, you can also be Toil, and he says, you can also be moichiv. So he's going like Rabbi Yossi, who says Af Toilin. He's going like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says Af Moichek. So why didn't they just cite the names? He could have said, I paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, I paskin like Rabbi Yossi, right? V'lei Mamar, well, he should have said Loch Kamar, I hold like this Shita. V'lei Mamar, Umar, Loch Kamar, right? He should have said, I paskin like Rabbi Yossi. He could also hang the Shem Hashem, and he should have said, I paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak. He could even put it on erasure. Why did they sort of present the fact anew instead of just relating to the names? The answer is because some actually had a different version of the names, so it would just cause confusion. This was a more straightforward, clear way of dictating the Allah. Some, would switch the names, so this was the safest way to do it. Okay, so we have one opinion like Rabbi Yitzchak, one like Rabbi Yossi. Here comes a third opinion, Omer Rabin. Bar Chinana. He quotes Amar Ula, who quotes Amar Chanina. Okay. So what is Rav Chanina telling us? Halacha Rav Shimon Shazuri. The halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Now, was he relating to the question of the Shem Hashem, or was it a different discussion of Rav Shimon Shazuri? In any case, that's the first part of his statement. We paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri. V'lo yoyedem. Furthermore, we always adopt his opinion. Elo kal makim sheshana. Rav Shimon Shazuri, whenever we find Rav Shimon Shazuri speaking, we adopt his view. Halacha kamaisa. Now, in the first part of the statement, when he said halacha, which Rav Shimon Shazuri was he referring to? Over here by the Shem Hashem? Aha, Ilim Rav Shimon Shazuri, is it this one? We said, Oymer Kol Hashem Kulei Toilin, which says, Toilin can only hang the full name, not part of the name. But we already had a conclusion on this discussion. A minute ago, we had two opinions in terms of who we paskin. He should have just added his name to the chorus. Why do you have to give a sort of a standalone statement, which sounds like he's talking about a different topic? But we had a conclusion. Amar Chanan Amar Rav, right? Halacha Toilin Hashem. Rav Chanan Amar Ritzel Gar Shmuel Halacha Moichiv VeKoisiv. Right? Those two opinions we mentioned before in terms of how to proceed. V'Misa. And if Rav Chanan Rabbi Chanina was merely referring to Rav Shimon Shazuri in this discussion, he should have simply added his name to the chorus. V'Misa Hu Nami Lema. He should have said, "Yeah, and I hold Rav Shimon Shazuri." Apparently, he was referring to a different thing altogether. Aloha. Rav Shimon Shazuri, it's interesting, halacha called a ben pekua, so the shech, the mother animal, they find unborn offspring inside. Halacha is you can eat it without shechita. The shechita of the mother accommodated the unborn. What if the animal now jumps out and starts running around? Chacham say, that's it. System stops there because it looks like a regular animal. If you'll eat it without shechita, it's going to cause confusion and misconception. Rav Shimon Shazuri says, no. This type of phenomenon makes waves. Everybody knows, everybody remembers. This is a unique animal. Shimon Shazuri, I'm a filo ben chamish, shanim, he can be 5 years old, the offspring. V'chayrish besad, he's working in the field. Shchita asim ha mitaharse, the shchita of the mother addresses it, and you don't have to do shchita. So perhaps Rav Chanina said, halacha, Shimon Shazuri, he meant this halacha. Says the Mar, cannot be so. Hoyt Mar, lo, because we have a conclusion on that halacha as well. Ziri, Rav Chanina, halacha, Shimon Shazuri. Okay, so we already have that statement from Ziri Rav Chanina, that we pass on Rav Shimon Shazuri regarding the Ben Pekua. And V'im Isa, if in fact Ravin Bachinana, who quoted Ula, who quoted Chanina, was referring to this case as well, he should just add his name to the course. Yeah, I also agree that we pass on Rav Shimon Shazuri. Why did he sort of veer off and, you know, presented as a separate statement. So it cannot be that he's referring to this case. Allahu, let's make another attempt. Let's look around Shas and see where we find Rav Shimon Shazuri's name mentioned. And perhaps that's what Rabbi Manchinna was referring to when he said we passed on Rav Shimon Shazuri. Allahu. But Rishonis, in the good old days, Hayyayimun Chacham would say, although typically a husband is required to actually instruct the people to write the get and to deliver the divorce document to his wife. So it has to be clearly articulated. There's no guesswork. He has to actually say it. But in the old days, they would say, look, sometimes a person isn't in a proper frame of mind to express himself clearly and articulately, so we can sort of surmise from the circumstance what he had in mind, and we could deliver the get despite him not having explicitly told us to do so. But in the old days, they would say, it's because the person is being led out in chains, be punished to be killed by the authorities. V'amar, he said, I call that kisvu get li ishti, write a get for my wife. He didn't tell him what to do with it. Deliver or no deliver. We proceed as though he instructed us to deliver it. You should write and give it to him. That's what he had in mind, even though he didn't express it. Then later on they added some more circumstances, some more examples. Afam afarish, like with a person on the way out to sea, v'yitzah b'shayorah, on the caravan, to the caravan, basically embarking on a big trip, he's all frazzled. Likewise, the same would apply. Shimon Shazuri Aimi adds another example. If I'm a certain person who's deathly ill, and he merely says write a get, he meant write and to give. Inami, another example of Shimon Shazuri would be in a case of aha. The following case: a person purchased produce from an unlearned fellow from Haaretz. We're not sure whether the Haaretz addressed the truma and master requirements, that he separate the truma to the kain, etc. So this type of material is called demai. Demai, we're not sure what it is, we can't define, we can't determine its status. Halacha is you have to separate certain tithings, like Trumas Maser, and give it to the Kohen. Now let's say you did that, but it fell back into the mix. Now you're in trouble. Trumas Maser can only be eaten by a Kohen. But now it's mixed up, you can't eat it, you're a Yisrael. What do we do? So because it involves, you know, hefsid, there's great loss involved, Rosh Hashanah says, even during the week, you can approach the Yama Oretz, who sold it to you, and say, listen, buddy, do me a favor. My good friend, I have a question for you. Tell me the truth. Did you separate Trumas and Maser before you gave it to me? Typically, you don't trust him. Right? Certainly not during the weekday. On Shabbos, you could ask him, because on Shabbos, the Yama Oretz was afraid to lie because of Kedusha Shabbos. But even during the weekday, when he doesn't have that extra incentive, you can trust him because it involves hefset, great loss. So you can ask him, and he can eat it based on his dictation. That's Rosh Hashanah's leniency. And perhaps that's what we're talking about in terms of which of Shimon Shazuri. But it can't be so. We have a conclusion on that halacha. Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan says, halacha of Shimon Shazuri. In those two cases, b'mesukin, the case of the deathly ill husband, and the get, and the mix-up of the d'mai. So Rabbi Yechanan already dictated the halachas like him. And if Rav Machinna was merely duplicating that statement, he should have said, me too, hu nami lema. He shouldn't have gotten up as a separate declaration. We pass from Shim Shazuri. He should just add his name to the corroborated Rabbi Yechanan. So it must be speaking about a different case, different Shim Shazuri. Allah is referring to a different Allah. Rabbi Yisim and Kibur Aymer. He quotes Mishum. There you go, Shim Shazuri. So regarding Truma Sein Maser, you meant to separate from this year's crop on this year's crop. You're not meant to take from this year's crop on last year's crop, or vice versa. How do you determine what year it belongs to? So if we're talking about something which is like a seed, it depends on Hashrasha, when it takes root. It takes root before Rosh Hashanah, belongs to this year. After Rosh Hashanah, next year. If we're talking about a vegetable, it goes based on when it was picked. Picked this year, it's this year. Next year is next. But if you have pula mitzri is some type of bean which has both elements. It can be eaten for its seed, or it can be eaten for its leaves. So it depends. Pula mitzri, shazara lezeref, intent was for its seed. So then you treat it as a seed. And the rooting, the ashrasha, is what determines its allegiance. Miktsasu. So now let's say part of the crop. You planted it, you know, a couple days before Rosh Hashanah, right now, right? And you know some of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, some after. Go figure out what's what, where is where. How are you going to figure out? Miktsasu, hishush, fnei Rosh Hashanah. Miktsasu, some of it took root after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, a while later, it's ready for picking, ready for truma. What do you do? Ein turban mizaza, you got to be careful. You can't do truma from one part on the other. Why? Lafish ein turban. You can't do truma from last year on this year, and vice versa. Shein turban amasrin. Loi ben achadash, not from the new crop, ala yashin on the old crop, and vice versa. Loi ben ayashin al chadash. Okay, it's asked, what do you do? You're stuck. Soiver garna l'sayecha. You mix the gur and the granary, basically the pile. You just do a proper mix. And you assume there's even distribution, so both elements of this mix are evenly distributed. So now when you take that sampling, you assume that in your sampling, the content of your sampling, which contains both elements, new and old crop, corresponds, so proportionally corresponds to what's going on in the greater mix. So let's say you know that your crop is comprised of 50% old, 50% new. You take this pail, after you mix it up, you take the sampling, and you can safely assume within this mix, within this pail, you have 50% old and 50% new. So your truma of the old is going on the old, and the new on the new. There's no crossing over. So it turns out that his truma and master has been a chadash shabai ala chadash shabai. From the new in your bucket, on the new in the crop, the old on the old. That's Rosh Hashanah's opinion, because he holds Yesh Bila, as Rashi explains, liquids or, you know, small, you know, materials like seeds. We assume the mix is a proper mix, and the distribution is evenly distributed. Okay, so that's the halacha. And perhaps that's what we're talking about. That Rosh Hashanah, but it can't be so. Same problem. We have a statement on that. Amar Rav Shmuel, Bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan paskens halacha b'shem shazur b'yom isa. And if we're going on the same halacha, hunami lema, you should have just said, okay, I also like that. Why do you sort of declare it as a separate statement? Apparently he's talking about a different b'shem shazuri. Elamar papa, I found it. Ashida. He's talking about the chest, halacha of the chest. Rav Yitzchak Amar Yain, he's talking about the halacha of the wine. Rav Papa Amar Ashida, what's the halacha of the chest? So we know that a large size wooden chest, we learned this the other day, is a kli asal and nachas, it's meant to stay stationary, it's not makabel tuma. How large does it have to be? It has to accommodate a certain amount of content, Rashi says, 40 saw of liquid, or 2 kur of dry material. That's that has been determined past that point. If it's that, you know, if it's that big, it's no longer considered a mobile item, it's sort of a stationary, you know, landmark, stationary, you know. So if it's big enough, it's not makabel tuma. Now the question is, how do you measure size? Internal dimensions or external dimensions? It's not ashida, we have this large chest. That is mafnim. Internal dimensions. From the outside, which will give you a greater chance at getting at the total because you're including the walls and that. Now we'll agree, you can't count in the legs. Shein oiver aglaim, the thickness of the leg, v'oivi aliv vazbizin, or the, you know, the designs, you know, the moldings, that's not going to be counted, and that's sort of, you know, extra. V'oivi, that's not going to be counted into the total. He says, no, moidim, all agree, sh'oivi agraglayim, v'oivi aliv vazbizin, yeah, you can actually count on the legs and the moldings. Just ubenein and nimdan, you can't count the space between them, the empty space between the legs. That's already, you know, out of the picture. But the actual material, Reb Shimon Shazur Yoyim, he says, look, depends. Im hayu raglaim voyas tefach, the legs are a tefach high. Ein benein nimdan, although you count on the legs, but not the space between them. Vim lav, but if they're smaller than a tefach, then they're sort of, you know, just a continuum with the chest. Benein nimdan, so even the space between them is still counted in. So that's Reb Shimon Shazur. And that's the halacha that we're talking about. We paskin like him. Perhaps he's going on the case of the wine, which mentions Reb Shimon Shazuri as well. The snan, as we learned in the Mishnah, we know that midrabanan liquids, since they're very susceptible to tumah, they no matter what type of level of tumah they've experienced, they're upgraded to a rishon the tumah. Okay, so let's say they became a sheni or shlishi. If it's liquid, it goes back to a rishon, because we know there are some liquids out there that are really rishon. Liquids that come from produced by a person whose tummy. So, midrabban, all liquids have a status of a rishon. Now, as Tosis learns this gemara, we're speaking that these liquids actually congealed somewhat. Now, is it solid, or is it still a liquid? Remei emes shemen, oil never properly congeals. Tchil leloyim is still considered like a liquid regarding these halachas. Cham oimer mafad vash, same with honey. Shemen shazuri oimer mafad yain, wine as well. Mechal tan kamasara yain loy tan kam holds that wine doesn't qualify. Wine, if anything, does still retain somewhat liquid status. Eimer, Shimon Shazuri, Yain, Shimon Shazuri disagrees with the Tanakama. Tanakama said wine as well, but he says only wine retains that, you know, liquidity to it, but not the other ones. So in any case, we discover two Rav Shimon Shazuris, and we're assuming that the statement from Ravin Bar Chinina, Amar Ula, Amar Chinina, which was that halacha. Reb Shimon is going on one of these two cases, and not only these, Kol Makim, all instances where we find Reb Shimon Shazuri, we pass on Reb Shimon Shazuri. Okay, so let's do a quick summary of today's daf. Those 8 psukim at the end of the Torah, who wrote it? Was it Yeshua ben Nun? Was it Moshe Rabbeinu? Bedema? In any case, we have special guidelines regarding those halachas because they're somewhat different. We learned about the advantage of writing a sefer Torah over buying it, fixing it as well, how to format the columns, the lines, the letters, the words, what to do if one's missing the Shem Hashem, where is it inserted, and several interesting halachas regarding Shimon Shazuri. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.